Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In 1919, he hit 29 home runs and was sold to the New York Yankees.
A three-run home run for Buffington. The Yankees now lead by a score of 3-2.
Bill Lee is now going over to a couple of the Yankees, and there they go again.
Swan hits it to deep left. That might send the Yankees to the World Series.
Barrett and A-Rod going at it. Roberts is going. Posada's throw. Roberts, safe.
And what can I say? Just dip my heart and call the Yankees my daddy.
Welcome to Fanbase, the deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. And this week, it's actually a rivalry. We're actually talking about the rivalry. John Senecal, Brian Shackman here for episode 167. Just a little context here, by the way. I host a morning radio show, WTIC News Talk 1080. You can always stream it. And John was supposed to come on the show live before we did the podcast and talk a little Red Sox-Yankees, and the mayor of Hartford was late. And so we bounced him. By the way, I would never do that to anyone but a friend. You know what I mean? Like, I would have probably said no to him.
I feel like that's the second time that's happened now this year. Bumped by a politician.
Who is the other one?
I don't know. They're all the same.
I know you hate
it's just the color of the tie that changes, Brian. Just the color of the tie.
John Senecal. So we got Yankees, Red Sox. And I don't think it matters as much to the Red Sox as it does the Yankees. Although, if the Red Sox, by some grace of G/D, they win 3 of 4, I think the Sox can be talking. But I do think the Sox are kind of out of it.
Well, I mean, they got to win, right? I mean, they're definitely not out of it. They're only 4 out of the wild card,
and as of Thursday, yes.
But and they have teams that they're going to play that are in front of them, being Minnesota. But they still have their work cut out for them, obviously. But they got to win. They have to win the games.
It's like nobody wants to win anything. It's like when the Orioles lose, the Yankees lose, although it hasn't happened as much lately. And then the Royals, and everyone's kind of stinks right now. And it's kind of funny, but I mean,
a lot of 500 ball being played.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at like last 10, and this is as of, you know, the three top wildcard teams, you know, Baltimore, Kansas City, Minnesota, last 10, 5-5, 5-5, 4-6. And then you have the Tigers who've done well. They've played themselves into contention, right? They've been 7-3. But then after that, Red Sox, 4-6. Mariners, 5-5. Tampa, 4-6. I mean, it's crazy. And then you go to the overall standings, and the Yankees, 5-5 of their last 10 coming into Thursday's game. And there's a lot of mediocrity out there right now. And even out west, I mean, the Astros haven't really played well lately either. So when it comes to this series, I don't think Red Sox-Yankees, to be honest, right now matters as a rivalry. I don't. I actually will come right out and say it doesn't. But the games matter to the Yankees. So it's different. To me, I'm separating it, right?
Right.
It's an important series. If it were the bleeping Miami Marlins in town, it'd be a big series. Do you not agree?
I mean, I agree. I mean, it's The good thing about this year, I feel like, is a lot of people wrote the Red Sox off at the beginning of the season, and they've continually proved everybody wrong. So I do think there's still a rivalry because these games actually matter, right? I mean, the Yankees
but
have to win.
That's my point. The games matter, but the opponent doesn't really matter.
I mean, they always play each other tough, and the Red Sox are a much better team than everyone thought they were. So I'll say the rivalry is still there. But yes, you are right. The games matter more than the overall aura of the matchup. But that being said, I mean, the Red Sox, again, they have to win the games. The Yankees have to win the games. There is not going to be a point in the rest of the season where any of these teams are just going to be able to sit back and say, oh, we've locked this up. With 15 games to go in the season, there's you can say all you want about magic numbers. But by the way, these teams are playing now and the way they've been playing the last, you know, 2 or 3 weeks, nobody's going to hit these magic numbers before the end of the season. I think the Yankees have like 8 wins to go before they could clinch, and that means other teams don't have to, you know, they can't play that good either. So I just don't see it happening.
Well, the Yankees are making the playoffs. Like, that's not an issue. Like, if you think about the teams fighting for the third wildcard or basically 500, the Yankees are not missing the playoffs.
But what they need is they need the best record in the AL, and they need that bye, because let's be honest, if you watch the Yankees Royals series,
they could lose to anybody.
They could
anytime.
Lose, and good pitching is going to beat you, right? When you go up against Seth Lugo and Cole Reagans is probably going to be your runner up to the Cy Young. Possibly could give Skubal a very good run at the Cy Young. But when you see those good pitchers come in and they're in the top tier, they're shutting down an offense that's, you know, got one of the best 1-4 in baseball. That being said, Judge is on a big slump in the last, I would say, 3 weeks, but definitely September has been rough. We got April Judge back right now, and that's concerning. You got to hope that stops and picks back up for the playoffs. But, you know, Judge is batting like 178 in September? Something like that? I mean, that's, you know, he hasn't hit a home run in 14 games. That's his longest streak this season. And it's just his average is down 7 points. His on-base percentage is down like 6 points. Slugging is down. He's struggling right now.
So let's bring this point up. I was going to make a Red Sox point about this weekend in the series, but I'll put a pin in that. The lineup for the Yankees on Tuesday: Torres leading off, Soto, Judge, Wells, Giancarlo Stanton, Jazz Chisholm, Jason Dominguez, Rizzo and Volpe.
That was the lineup. I said that's the lineup,
right? And we even commented, Matt and I. I mean, honestly, I'll say this as a non-Yankee fan: that's the best lineup in baseball. And then they went out and they got shut out 5-0. And I know they played a good pitcher, Lugo. You mentioned it, but my point is that shouldn't matter. I mean, that lineup, you don't have enough great strikes to deal with everybody if they're playing decent. And if they somehow, if that's the lineup in the playoffs and they can get their SHT blank T together, they might be able to overcome a crappy closer and average pitching.
Yeah, I mean, that lineup is the lineup you want, but then the next night they go out and they sit Dominguez, they sit Wells, and they play Verdugo, and then they play Trevino against left-hander Cole Reagans. Now, I understand the Trevino thing, and partially I don't understand that because Wells has been so hot and he's been a little bit better against left-handed pitching. But why start Verdugo there? Why put a lefty against one of the best left-handed pitchers in baseball when you could have Dominguez, who's a switch hitter? Now, was that something they did because Dominguez started the night before and they don't want to get in Verdugo's head? This isn't the time to worry about people's heads. This is the time to win ball games. And I feel like the lineup they put out on the final game against the Royals was not the best lineup. Verdugo should not have been up there against a left-handed
pitcher.
Well,
it's interesting. I think it's 100% what you said. It's not so much to get in his head, but like, if he sits 2 games in a row, it really feels like it sends a message. And I didn't even think of lefty-lefty type
stuff. Well,
I mean,
when they called up Dominguez, which everybody was clamoring for all along, Verdugo started too and left, and Dominguez was in center. And I feel like that was kind of a way to say, you know, you're still part of the team. He's not coming right in here and taking your spot. But then the next night, and then they go on and they start Verdugo again and sit Dominguez. So again, I think it's more of a confidence builder for Boone. I mean, for Boone doing that for Verdugo, I guess. But again, not the best lineup to win, in my opinion. Verdugo just doesn't have, I mean, granted, yeah, he ran into one and hit a home run, but his slug is so bad. It's just not good. And if you're going to bring Dominguez up, he's got to be playing every day. You just have to do it. And unfortunately, if it means Verdugo sits. Now, that being said, you're going into Boston, where I'm guessing, you know, Verdugo, he has played very well against Boston in Boston, and I'm guessing he would want to stick it to them a little bit and, you know, show.
But this is in New York. They're playing in New York.
Oh, yeah. But they're playing Boston, I mean. Sorry. Yeah. So, I mean, I feel like they would want to, you know, stick it to the old team a little bit. But
he's definitely got to play. I mean, I don't know. I mean, he's going to play in this series. I mean, he has.
Well, they got Cooper Criswell. He's a righty, right? He's starting on Thursday. Yep. Then you got Hauk, who's a righty, on Friday. Bello on Saturday, who's a righty. And Crawford, who's a righty, on Sunday. So there really is no reason why Verdugo should not slide into two of those four games, given the way they've been playing, given the way Boone's been doing it, because you want a lefty in that lineup. Dominguez should just – I feel like Dominguez should be in the lineup no matter what. He's a switch hitter. He should be in there, just like Oswaldo Cabrera should be in there as a switch hitter. And he hasn't been playing at all season. I'm still scratching my head on that one. But again, Wells needs to be in the lineup regardless if it's a lefty or righty. He's just a far superior hitter this year than Trevino. You know, Wells should be the starting catcher and getting one day off a week, in my opinion, regardless of who's pitching, lefty or righty.
So I wanted to bring up this. The thing about the Red Sox that's fascinating to me is how bad they are at home and how good they are on the road.
Exact opposite of the Yankees.
Yeah, the Yankees are still...
Well, no, the Yankees are good on the... Yeah, the same as the Yankees. Yankees are good on the road and not that good at home.
Yeah, but they're better at home. I mean, the Red Sox are 500 at home at freaking Fenway Park. That's insane to me. They have a worse record. They have the worst record at home in the entire AL East. And in fact, you know, outside of... If you take outside of the White Sox, which is duh... They and the Angels, they have the third worst home record in the American League. That's insane to me. Fenway Park is supposed to be a big advantage. And my theory is that it's just chock full of tourists, so there's no real advantage because it's
fans. They're not getting the crowd into it.
It just kind of sucks. But the flip side of that is they're 7 games over .500 on the road. And so I think that listen, the Red Sox, if they have any chance, I almost feel embarrassed talking about it because I don't believe they have a chance in hell. I don't think they have a chance to make the playoffs, and I'd be love to eat crow. I really would be great. They have to win 3 or 4. And so it's there's no more. Whereas the Yankees can split. The Yankees can even lose 3 or 4 and they'll be okay, but they really don't want to lose 3 or 4, but they can split 2 and 2 and be fine.
Yeah, but the bottom line is the Yankees need that. They need that bye. They have to beat out Cleveland for the best record in the AL. They have to do it. It's without that, there's way too many questions.
Is there a tiebreaker between those two?
The Yankees own the tiebreaker over them. So that's a good thing. That's a good thing. But if you look at the Yankees schedule after they get done with Boston, which is not going to be easy in 4 games. They go to Seattle and Oakland on a road trip. Now, Seattle is fighting for their life. Oakland is playing very good baseball right now. A lot of young kids that just don't give a crap because they don't care. They're leaving town. The record
sucks. Did you see the 3-bunt thing? Who sent that? Was that you or Matt?
No, I didn't send it, but I did see it.
Did you watch it?
Yeah.
People don't know they were playing Houston the other night. Oakland was. And it was that extra innings? Or was it just late? It was like 7th or 8th inning?
Yeah.
Oh, it was the 12th inning? And Matt Story says it was a 12th. And they had a guy on base. They did 3 straight punts, and they won the game. I think they got a 2-run lead. They gave up one in the bottom of the 12th and held on for the win. But that's the kind of crap that I love. I mean, they're just saying whatever we got to do, let's do it.
And they're not gonna roll over. And then you come home against Baltimore, which is probably gonna decide the AL East, I would think, a 3-game set right there, the way things are going. And then you finish against Pittsburgh, and who knows, you run into Skeens or not. Pittsburgh's out of it. You don't know what they're going to tote out there. But then you look at Boston. I feel like Boston's got a little bit – they got it rough. They got to face the Yankees like 4, Tampa for 3, and then the big series against Minnesota, who sits in front of them for 3 games. So if they can come out good over the next 7 games and then go into Minnesota, they have a legit shot. And then they're back against Toronto. We all know how we feel about Toronto. They're a joke. But, you know, again, Toronto can just run off 2 wins against you somehow. And then they finish against Tampa Bay. And Tampa Bay,
they're tough.
They're going to play you tough regardless. Yeah. So 6 games over your last basically 15 against Tampa Bay and then another 4 against the Yankees is not an easy task, especially because the AL East, they hate each other. We know that.
Yeah. I can't even put too much stock in any of it. But, I mean, let's see what happens with the weekend. What's your prediction?
I think the Yankees will win 3 out of 4. I really do. I just feel like the Yankees starting pitching is better than the Red Sox. And, you know, regardless of how the, you know, Tyler O'Neill, and he's having a great season, and the Red Sox hitting, and Duran, I just feel like the Yankees lineup, if they put out the lineup that we talked about, is far superior. And I think, you know, again, can you get the lead? Will the bullpen hold it? You know, I feel like across the league, other than Cleveland, bullpens are a big question mark. But the Yankees, obviously, is a huge question mark.
You know, the Red Sox is a question mark, too. But, I mean, I think when you look at the lineups, the Sox look even with O'Neill and Duran, Casa, the Red Sox look like a Triple-A team.
Devers is always going to give you trouble because he's Devers. It's just a matter of those role-playing guys going to step up, the Ref Snyders and those guys. But I think it's going to come down to the bullpen, and hopefully the Yankees can do it. I mean, Clay Holmes came in the final game against the Royals in the seventh inning, and he did Clay Holmes stuff. He sucked. So you got to wonder where the confidence factor is with him, basically coming in, you know, still a pressure situation because you have the lead, but it's not the end of the game, and he still couldn't perform. So
he's John Senecal. I'm Brian Shackman. This is Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. Let's touch on one or two quick things, and we'll say goodbye. Do you think Ohtani will go 50-50?
He's at 47. I think he's 47 home runs. I think he hit one
Wednesday.
On Wednesday night, he hit a home run. I think he's 47-46. The last podcast, I said that he would do it by September 15th. Now, September 15th is rapidly approaching. He still has a shot at it, but yes, Ohtani will do 50-50 by the end of the season. The question I have for
you,
Brian.
He's 47-48.
Okay, he will definitely do it.
Going into Thursday, he's got 47. The stolen bases aren't the issue. He'll get to 50 there. I think home runs are hard to hit when you want to hit them.
Yeah.
You know?
But the thing about him is he's in a perfect spot. He's batting in front of Mookie Betts. He's leading off the game. You're going to have to pitch to him. You do not want to walk him to put him on base for those next three guys that are coming up. So right. He will see the pitches. He will hit the home runs. And hopefully he does it by September 15th so I can be right about something. But again, will a 50-50 season propel him to the MVP? I feel like we could talk about that at a later date, but a lot of people are saying that he needs to get that 50-50 to beat out Lindor because he's not pitching. He's just a DH. Will he be the first DH to win the MVP?
Oh, yeah, because I keep thinking he's in the AL. I mean, I think they're both really good baseball players, so I don't care either way because I think, you got a guy who switch hits and plays the infield. I just love that kind of player.
Clutch, too. And he has been absolutely clutch for the Mets.
And it's great because when they signed him, he really struggled. Maybe the money was weighing heavily on his shoulders. I'm not sure. But to see him earn the paycheck has been, I actually think, is very cool. In terms of Ohtani, I think the bigger question mark, I know he really, really wants to pitch. But, man, if he goes out and pitches and doesn't play as well on his non-pitching days, I think there's going to be pressure for him not to pitch. And you could argue, based on the current economics, he's not necessarily being overpaid. It's just a hitter. He's sort of proven that.
Honestly, what I would do with Ohtani, I would just turn him into a closer.
But then he's got to pitch more than.
But you limit his arm. You limit the strain on his arm. He could still hit. They have the Ohtani rule. He can basically stay in the game the whole game and just come in to pitch. I mean, I think long-term, someone who's coming off, that's his second Tommy John. Someone who's coming off of that, I would really be concerned with the amount of money spent. Because listen, if he gets hurt again, you're going to lose him a hitting too for at least 6 months.
Well, until he gets healed. Yeah.
So you don't want to risk that, especially the caliber player he is and the gait he brings in every night. I mean, he's such a multidimensional player. He's not just doing it on the field. He is your organization. I mean, Mookie Betts is a great player, but Shohei Ohtani is your organization. As a Dodger. So you want to keep him on the field.
You would make him a closer.
Yeah, I would make him the closer. Why not? I mean, listen, the Dodgers have the wherewithal to figure it out. The majority of their pitching staff is on the IL right now, and they're still winning.
Yeah.
So they're going to figure it out.
Hate the Dodgers.
Yeah, I hate the Dodgers too.
How's college going?
College is good. He made the club baseball team. I just found out last night they had tryouts.
Is that a big deal? Is that a big deal?
Yeah, there was almost 50 kids that tried out for six spots. So
for six spots?
Yeah, six position players they took.
Do they ever have anyone go from the club team to the team?
Yes, in the history, I believe they have, and that's what I told them. I said, use this opportunity to be better than everybody else.
And because that's, I mean, club baseball, because I'm not familiar with this slice of the world until one of my friend's kids is playing club hockey at the University of Tennessee, and it's like...
It's legit.
It's as good or better than any of the D3 varsity programs. So my question is, do they play every day?
They play on the weekends. They play doubleheaders on Saturday.
And how often do they practice?
They practice twice a week.
So it's decidedly less rep.
It's definitely not your varsity sport, right? But I mean, you're going to play. They'll play Central Connecticut State.
Their club team.
They'll play Quinnipiac. They play.
He's at Fairfield University.
They're going to play Mount Clair State, which I got penciled in because that's where the Yogi Berra Museum is in New Jersey, and I want to go down there and see that. And then they play. Let's see who else is on here. Fordham.
I think it's cool. I didn't think baseball was
Sacred Heart.
I didn't think baseball was strong enough to do this. Like, has this been in place? Has the club baseball system always been there? Or is
yeah,
this
and it's
new?
And it's a sanctioned system. It's run by like a governing body and all that. And there's rules, there's regulations. The only thing is, it's basically player run. You don't have like a set coach, a pitching coach, and all that.
So the seniors run it?
Basically, yeah. You have a team president. They don't call him like the captain. You have like a team president who kind of like.
So it's like a baseball frat.
Yeah, it's like a baseball frat. Yep, which they, you know.
He must be psyched.
He is super psyched. You know, his first, they had 2-night tryout, and they didn't do like live hitting. They did soft toss. And I hate soft toss, dude. I never do it with my kids. I just don't like it. I just don't feel like it does anything. I could be 100.
Just like soft toss behind the netting?
Yeah, I could be 1,000,000% wrong, but regardless, I just don't see how soft toss translates into gameplay. So he got in there and he said he killed it in the field and he just didn't do great hitting. His soft toss wasn't good. And he said, but, you know, blah, 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 I'll come back tomorrow night. So he went back.
Plus he's second base, right?
Shortstop, second base. Yeah. He can play anywhere.
But there's a lot of kids that fill those spots. Like, that's a competitive set.
The good thing about him is being a shortstop primarily, he transitions well. He's played third. He's played second in the summer. He's played outfield, and he's done good at all of them. But primarily, he played short and second. So I'm not worried about him fitting into a place on that team. I'm just glad he's on the team and doing something, and it's going to give him some structure, and it's going to continue. He'll be able to play now for another 4 years of doing something that he loves.
As long as he wants to do it.
Yeah. And so he came back the second night, and I got a text that said, I went crazy tonight. And I was like, this is awesome. And of course, the wife's up all night freaking out, like, you know, the helicopter moms. Like, I'm sure you got one too, right? Like, it's crazy how like insanely like nervous these mothers are about these kids going off to college, which I get it, you know, but I keep telling them, I'm like, quit stalking the kid.
Well,
he'll be
it's
fine.
It's tough to go from 100 to zero, right? That's the biggest thing in terms of like involvement and,
yes.
and touch points. I mean, I get it. My daughter has not been. We're not quite as involved. My stuff isn't sports. The only frustration I have is we're paying all this money for college and she doesn't get into the classes she wants. I was like,
that's ridiculous.
It's freaking ridiculous. And then like one class she didn't get into because her advisor didn't get back to her in time. And I'm like, what? And then my daughter's not aggressive, right? Like she doesn't want to bother people. And so
right.
she probably doesn't follow up in the way she should. But like that's, and like we try to tell her to just, you know, explain that, the class you didn't get into explained that your advisor never got back to you, and she's like, no, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, you got to advocate for yourself. I mean, that's probably the hardest thing for these kids is that it's time for them to start speaking up and taking control of their own lives. And that's not an easy thing when you've been, you know, around your parents for the last 18 years, basically. You know, it's a tough thing. But, you know, I'm happy he's, you know, we're on week two. He called me the other night. He was walking to the library to study at 9 o'clock. You know, he's getting his work done. He's not calling home, freaking out. He's not having roommate issues. So, you know, the few freshman hurdles so far that most kids are running into, he hasn't hit. You know, have friends that kids are calling from Florida State and stuff saying they want to come home and go to UConn already.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, I feel it's a little crazy to send your kid that far away, period.
And the size of the school, too.
And the size of the school.
And the cultural difference
exactly.
in the schools. I mean, listen, I think it's great. I have a friend whose kid is at the University of Alabama, but I think that you have to be ready and prepared for what the difference is.
Way big difference.
Might be. Yeah. I was live texting with my daughter. She was watching the debate, which was really fun. But, yeah. I mean, it's an interesting time. It's just
it's
way different.
It's weird walking down the hall and seeing that empty room with the door
That's
open.
That's the hard part for me.
An empty clean room, too, is crazy. Like, yeah. I'm used to walking in there and it being pure chaos, stuff everywhere.
I still have two sons, so my house is still a disaster. listen, great stuff, John. I'm so happy for Jackson. I mean, that's really a big deal.
It is a big deal. He's
and
excited.
I think more for the structure, like the fact that he's got a place to go a couple days a week. He's got a sort of built-in set of friendships that are coming his way. I mean,
well, it made me nervous because the first night he talked to me and he said, you know, I really want to make this team. I don't know if I don't make this team, I don't. It wasn't like I don't know what I'm going to do, but it was kind of like you got that vibe. It was like, I haven't figured that part out yet. Like,
but I would say, because we got to go, I would say in some ways that would have been good too, because it would have forced him to define himself, and I'm projecting a little bit, but it would have forced him to define himself outside of baseball as a person. And that would have been really hard, and it would have been maybe some rock bottomy moments, but that would have been a growth opportunity too. So I think in some ways it's a win-win, just one is a little less painful.
Yeah.
Well, awesome. All right, he's John Senecal. I'm Brian Shackman. You've been listening to Fanbase, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports.
worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.